This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, hey, I'm Ricky Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr. Let's talk about kids on leashes.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Fire Safety Week is right around the corner, and here are a few important tips you might want to listen to.
Wrapping your kids in newspaper at bedtime sounds like a good idea. Keeps them warm. But guess what? That stuff's flammable.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Hey, we've all run around with an empty milk jug full of gasoline and lit it in an open field. But make sure there's a parent close by.
And Brendan Sprague.
What's better than a nap? A nap with a cigarette. I know. I do it. If you're going to sleep in bed, make it a hammock. So if it lights on fire, you fall down and wake up.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Fire safety begins in your brain at home.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single day.
Andy is my daddy.
We've got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. A lot of college football stuff. Baseball playoffs continue today. Everybody's playing a couple of elimination games. So loaded final hour. One listener asking at the Vancouver Ford text line, the real question is, did Josh clip it and send it to Ryan Day as well? Because you got to text both sides. It's like a political ad. You got to interview both candidates. We got to text it to both coaches. Just in full disclosure, this is how I feel.
Well, look, I think Josh would tell you he probably knows Ryan a little bit. He's known Lanning a long time. He knew Lanning from his time in Memphis, and he knew Lanning at his time as a DC at Georgia. So, yeah. Relationship probably a little better with Dan Lanning than old Ryan Day, but he is somebody, too, that will be absolutely fair, so I wouldn't be shocked if he texts Ryan Day or somebody on that staff.
Somebody also asking, is Lanning a bleep yeah guy or a let's bleeping go guy?
I think he's a bleep yeah guy.
He's a bleep yeah guy?
That's a good poll question.
Bleep yeah!
If Dan Lanning is responding to something encouraging, is he a that or a that?
I think I'm with you. I think I go bleep yeah.
I think he's to the point.
Just boom.
You talk with your helmet.
A couple of exclamation points on the end.
Yeah.
And make it emphatic and all that. Well, there is a big game in Autzen. I don't know if you've heard that. There's a big game in Autzen this weekend.
No. Have we talked about it?
No, we haven't talked about it yet. But let's hear from the coaches on the other side of this. So one of the things that I am very curious of, that you started to see a little bit more last week from Ohio State, was Will Howard running the football. That's, I would argue, his biggest strength. He's a big dude. The quarterback design run was a big part of his offense when he was at Kansas State. They started to showcase it a little bit last week, kind of a little peekaboo, if you will, against Iowa. And I'm wondering if that ends up being a big aspect in the game this weekend. He was asked about Will Howard and the impact on the offense and his experience in big games. And here's what Ryan Day had to say.
Well, I think a big part is his legs, you know, and having the ability to make a difference with his legs. And, you know, you'll always, when you're starting, you know, at the end of a season, you start backwards and kind of almost try to like almost reverse engineer the whole roster, and it starts with that, is that, you know, the ability to, you know, use your legs is really, really important, because that can becomes the X factor, and he can do that, and so it kind of goes from there, and we kind of made that decision and felt like that was important for us, and so then it kind of, you know, went from there, and you know, all the other things are, you know, for him, his size and his intelligence and his ability to throw the ball and, you know, throw accurately in the red zone, you know, and third down. Those are all really big traits that you need in big games. So I think, you know, we're all still learning about Will because he's only been here for, you know, what, 6 months or whatever it's been. But you know, we're learning quickly as these games are you know, coming and going.
And that, to me, is one of the bigger keys. If you look early in the second half against Michigan State moved the ball a little bit. Part of it was just Aiden Childs' zone read, defensive end kind of losing his assignment, tuck it and pick up 7, 8, 9 yards. Now Oregon eventually would get the stop on the drive until later in the game when second stringers were in. But quarterback design runs can hurt you. They're incredibly effective. He had 10 carries last week against Iowa. His previous high on the season was 6 against Michigan State. So they're good. I think they're going to run him a lot this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is obviously an underrated part of this. His highest carry total was last week with 10 against Iowa. He's largely done nothing with his legs. Yeah. We're watching Avery Johnson at Kansas State. use his legs a ton. We watched Will Howard use his legs a ton. I just don't think you're going to catch Oregon off guard with it. Now, who executes, you know, successfully, who goes against it really well, we'll see how that, you know, shapes up during the game. But I can't envision a Dan Lanning defense going into this going, oh, yeah, Will Howard doesn't run. Like, they're going to be ready for it. It's just right. A matter of who executes better against it or with it. The part about it with Will Howard is he does have big game experience.
He does.
And I think, like, downplaying it is interesting because I don't view him as a guy coming in that's never experienced it. It's not like he's coming from Iona. He played in the Big 12.
He did. They were in a Big 12 title game 2 years ago.
2 years ago. They were in the Big 12 totally title fair. Game. That dude knows what it takes. Now, his season maybe isn't as incredible as people thought, but I think this is where I'm at on a Wednesday, and maybe I'll stick with my preseason prediction. I do like Oregon getting points, but one reason I think they can win this is I don't think they've shown anything on film. They may have been in slight dogfights with all these opponents in the first half or to a point, but they ended up blowing them out just because of how talented they are. There's wrinkles to this offense that I think Chip has held back. Now, maybe you make the same argument for Oregon because of their schedule as well.
Yeah.
But they've had, you know, some red zone interceptions, and so, like, does that play a factor at all? There's an element of Ohio State that's hard to read for me because I haven't been overly impressed. And yet, look at the schedule and you say, do they really need to show that much to win those games?
That's a tough part. It genuinely is. Of what different wrinkles are you going to see? And then how many of those, to the point on Will Howard running, like, that is a wrinkle in their offense. They have not done it yet. But to your point, like, is that going to catch Oregon off guard? Like, it's a certain look that maybe you haven't seen yet on film, but
yeah.
They're coming in knowing that Will Howard's going to run the football. Now, can you execute and stop it? Can they execute and block it? That's right. What it'll come down to. That's not like a trick play that they have dialed up that's just been waiting in their back pocket that they haven't used yet. And I think you go on the other side of it as well and say, I wouldn't be shocked at all if design Dylan Gabriel runs are a part of this. Dylan Gabriel, dude, go back and look. I'll pull up the box score. So your big game experience thing for Will Howard is totally valid. He played in a Big 12 title game 2 years ago. They played at Texas. Like, he's played in big games in his career. I think part of it for me was looking at what Dylan Gabriel did last year in the Red River rivalry game and having that moment, and that was such a big win for
it's
them.
It's a massive win, yes.
You know how many yards he rushed for in that game?
I don't.
113.
Yeah.
14 carries for 113 yards and a touchdown, and then he had the game-winning drive. I think part of that big game stuff, though, for me is just remembering that moment from him and saying he won that game, and so that kind of stands out in my mind. But he's had it. Like, he rushed for nearly 400 yards. He had more rushing touchdowns than Will Howard last year. And so you can go both ways with all of this. Of how I'm sure Oregon has not been super eager to say, let's run Dylan Gabriel a ton against UCLA and Michigan State when we don't need to.
Yeah.
They've had a run here or there similar to Howard, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up having 10 or 11 carries this weekend.
His carry totals are a little misleading because the Boise game, he took sacks.
Yeah, he had four or five sacks, and that's going to count.
But if you go to Oregon State, obviously he had the one long run.
Yeah.
So he got 64 yards, but he had four carries in that game, and he has 3 and 3 in the last two. That's also an underrated maybe poll question, right? Like, each team wants to run their quarterback, Henderson and James. Which one has more rushing yards, Gabriel or Howard?
Yeah.
Because maybe that is going to be a deciding factor in what this is. Josh saying Ohio State's offensive line is a little bit of their weakness. Well, I think you could also counter the last 2 weeks of it for Oregon, but right. This is a different pass rush than they've seen against right. UCLA and Michigan State. So, like, it's weird. They're kind of mirroring each other in a lot of ways. And receiver, Jeremiah Smith and Egbuka are really good. Conversely, Stewart and Tez Johnson, they're different receivers. They're also very good. Yeah. So I find it such a fascinating matchup, not only just because of the rank thing, the team thing. Just if you look at their resumes, Ohio State didn't have a game like Idaho and Boise State. But I would say the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they have kind of mirrored each other in a lot of ways with weakness or perceived weakness, strength, etc.
Dominating their opponent, but you look at the score and you're like, why is it only 14-0? And then you look up at the end of the game and you're like, oh, okay, you're up 30-0 now. That escalated.
It's
quickly.
Kind of what Michigan State, Ohio State was for a minute there. It was like 17-7. You're like, oh my God, they're kind of hanging. And then a one-handed catch happened. And then another one. And you're like, right. Well, okay, now it's
Iowa game was the same. I was 7-0 at halftime last week. And then you look up and you're like, oh, okay, you won by 30. So that would end up being an easy win. Let's hear from the offensive coordinator. I don't know if you know who that is at Ohio State. He used to coach at Oregon. Do you know that?
I hadn't heard that Chip Kelly was once
he
at
used
Oregon.
To be. He's going to be back at Autzen this weekend.
Crazy.
Is the nostalgia still there? Chip Kelly talked about it. We'll get to that. Also, I want to start diving into some other little peekaboo for the weekend in college football because it's another really good weekend this weekend. We'll start diving into that next on The Fam. Enjoy this random stat at the Vancouver Ford Tech sign. Did you know Ryan Day and Chip Kelly are combined 0-5 against Oregon? Fun little fact for you.
We had forgotten about the 2018 game.
Yeah, that was the first time Chip came back. I should remember that. I remember that being a big deal. And speaking of which, let's talk about that. So Chip Kelly did his presser yesterday. The Ohio State, the way they do it is they have their head coach go, their, I think, OC or DC.
DC, yeah.
And then a player goes at the end. And Will Howard was interesting to listen to as well.
Yeah, he basically said, I came to Ohio State for this game.
Like, for this game.
This is an atmosphere, the kind of buildup of it, primetime moment. Like, this is a game that he came to Ohio State for.
A lot of people look at it this week as this is kind of their Michigan game from the last 2 years. Michigan sucks. They're going to beat the hell out of Michigan. It's in Columbus. Michigan has zero chance at winning that game.
If they can run the score up at 55-10, they will.
Remember the Oregon-Washington game in 2016? That 72-10 is going to be your final.
There's
if they
gonna
have
be a
the
pointing
to do
by
it.
Some quarterback.
They will kick the crap out of Michigan this year. So this is their biggest game, and then they got Penn State coming up in a couple of weeks. Chip Kelly, though, was asked about his return to Oregon for the however manyth time it's happened. Here is his response.
Columbus Dispatch. Chip, I know you've been back to Oregon 3 times at least. But still, how special is it for you? I mean, what are your kind of strongest memories of coaching there and building that program?
Yeah, well, I didn't build a program. Rich Books and Mike Bellotti built the program. I just kind of jumped in after Mike, but it's a special place, and I think it's great for our players. You know, a chance for them to play in one of the special places in college football. You know, they came out here a couple of years ago and got to play in the Shoe. We get to go play in Autzen Stadium, and it's Autzen Stadium at that time of day. It's truly special. So I think our guys are excited. They're a really good team. You know, and I think that'll get your attention right away when you look at the film. And then I have, you know, family there. I have a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law and 3 nephews. So I'll get a chance to see them. And then some of the coaches that I've coached with, Nick Eliotti, John Neal, Don Pelham, Steve Greatwood, a couple guys we've text messaged. So besides family and those coaches that I worked with that I'll get a chance to see very quickly, it's about the game. You know, and I'm fired up for our players because it is a really special place to play.
Let me give you a take on this. Maybe social media disagrees with me. I feel like this is kind of similar to last week where the storyline is on their side and not on our side. Like, I don't think this is a thing for Duck fans anymore.
What do you mean last
week? Just like
week?
The Chip, like the Jonathan Smith coming back to Oregon was a big talking point for Michigan State beat writers and going back to the state and playing your rival and blah, blah, blah.
That was a weird one, though, because it's like, well, I didn't coach at Oregon.
No, it was your rival.
And that team.
But that was a thing on their side of it and the questions at the press conference. I feel like that's kind of, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just in a different bubble, but is this still a thing for Duck fans?
I don't think it is anymore. You know, it's something that's like, oh, you see them, you may be like, hey, Chip, thanks for everything, man.
Thanks, man. And that was cool.
But I thought this lost its luster in 22, but UCLA was ranked in the top 10, so the matchup was prime time, and it was a big deal. You know, that was Lanning. I think that was Lanning's first top 10 win, right?
That was the UCLA game.
Later.
Yep.
So that was a big deal for that reason, but he's been back so many, like, this will be his fourth time back.
Yeah.
That I'm not a Duck fan, so I can't pretend, but you saying it kind of makes me feel how I felt of, I don't think people care. Where I think people care is, I think it's just the game and the matchup. So, like, what's the chess match look like with Chip versus Lanning and Taj? Like, is LaPoy going to have and be able to get Jordan Birch continue to break through and beat up maybe a shaky offensive line and wreak havoc in the? Is Harmon going to help stop that running attack up front? I think it's that. Maybe some Duck fan will always care when Chip Kelly returns. I don't know what you get out of that personally. And I like that he at least acknowledged it's a special place and they're special people. But I think
that other people laid the foundation before him. I appreciate that.
I think even he is like, okay. Like, I've already answered these questions. I've talked about this before.
And he's going to be in the booth. He's not on the sideline. It's a little bit different when you're on the booth.
I'm just more fascinated by a galaxy mile of what does he have in store for the Oregon defense and how does Oregon's defense match up and prepare to stop the weapons they do have on that side.
The irony of this game is the, and you kind of started to hint at this in the last segment, the similarities between the thought processes. So somebody texted in, Vancouver for a text line, said, for me, I don't think Gabriel can carry Oregon on Saturday. He just didn't look quite right last week. And I don't blame you at all for that. He threw two red zone picks. He's had three in the last 2 weeks, man. That's not good. You know who's thrown a pick in three straight games, and their fan base is saying, can this guy win a big game?
Will Howard.
Will Howard. Oregon had offensive line issues early in the season, and they really struggled to block the first 2 weeks. Now things have settled, but can you adjust against an elite defensive line? You know what Ohio State's biggest question on their offense is?
Their offensive line.
And you know who their center is? He's the guy who couldn't hike the ball to Jalen Milroe in the Rose Bowl last year in the playoff.
Right.
He transferred from Alabama, so there is a lot of similarities. On the chess match piece, Chip did talk about that. And just what he sees from Oregon's defense and how difficult they can be.
I think the way Jordan Birch is playing right now up front, you know, they've got a lot of seniors on their defense. I think there's nine of them in that starting lineup. You know, everybody in the back end, the two linebackers, the one linebacker, Bassa, seems like he's been there for a long time. And then Betcher, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, number 28, who's a really good player, baseball player, has played really, really well. It kind of seems like he's the heart and soul of that defense. And then they have veterans in the secondary. They're all, I know they're transfer kids, but they're all seniors that have played a lot of football. So I think they're really gelling together as a group. You know, they're going to present a lot of different looks. So we've got to be ready for everything they can throw at you, and they're going to throw a lot of things at you. So, you know, that's the challenge when you're going to play a team like this. So you get excited about it.
I know Boss is the leader of the defense. Mm-hmm. We know that. He was at Big Ten Media Day. But I will acknowledge what he said there. Anytime Bryce Betcher makes a key play, a pick or a big tackle, they do seem to react. There's a little more juice to the reaction to it. And so, like, yes, Boss is the leader. But I think there is an element of, like, on-the-field play leadership. He is definitely in this. This was a guy that was competing for the spot, and now it's like, it's without a doubt, you want to see him on
his
the field.
Job, yeah.
He is an incredible athlete. It's been well-documented. He's a baseball player who's going to the MLB. But damn it, if he doesn't want to play 1 year of college football and have this impact.
Is he similar to what Brady Breeze was to him a few years back?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. Local kid. I just think there's something unique. Oregon has risen to such a high level. You don't see a lot of local kids.
The local story, yeah.
It used to be a very normal thing for Oregon where, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there's a lot of kids from the state of Oregon
Herbert,
that would go.
Herbert, Harrington, right. Wilcox, like you name the names and you can go through it, and now it's like California,
Louisiana,
Florida, Texas, Louisiana,
Georgia.
Portal.
It is so true. There are some familiarities on each side, so that could be pointed out as well. Ohio State's running back coach is from Oregon. Lachlan left in the offseason after calling transfer soft batch cookies. He transferred to Ohio State.
Lanning was asked about that, and I thought Lanning basically said, don't care.
Yeah, he gave a non-answer as much as he could. Ryan Day said, yeah, that helps a little bit. Chip has game planned against Oregon the last couple of, well, not last year, but the 2 years previous to that, they played UCLA. So there you have that kind of matchup going back and forth. Another random one, and this is just the modern era of college football that's so funny. One, Derek Harmon, they know about him at Ohio State because he's from Michigan State, so they played against him. And one of Oregon's starting safeties was a teammate of the Ohio State quarterback last year, and Kobe Savage. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, it's all one big family web of football now, and everybody knows everybody, and it'll be fun Saturday.
Sometimes I think we, in this job and in the media in general, we kind of go with more narrative-based things because, like, we're being fully transparent. I don't know everything about X's and O's. But it is interesting. Chip said something that kind of caught my eye, and it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out Saturday. Disguising coverages and blitzes and what that can do to Ohio State to disrupt Will Howard and their passing attack and how he reacts if those incredibly talented front seven and defensive linemen do when they're in his face. If they're running at him, what is he going to do? Is he going to panic throw? How are you able to kind of shadow double coverage of Jeremiah Smith? Egbuka had a big game last weekend. What do you do, or how do you play that in your coverages? Again, I'm not the biggest X's and O's guy. I will never pretend to be, but it was fascinating hearing Chip talk about what he took away from what Lanning showed him when he was at UCLA 2 years ago, and kind of picking up what defensive coverages he likes to run.
Yeah, I still go back to that. Cornerback number two spot to me is one of the biggest keys because I'm not the biggest believer in Will Howard. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's an elite thrower of the football. That doesn't concern me a ton. You know what does?
They have two ones.
His guys, they can one hand. He doesn't have to be a good quarterback.
They don't have two.
Let me just get it in the range of the guy, and he's got a two-finger catch it over you, and it's like, I don't care how good your coverage is. And so that's what concerns me the most, is just how they attack that and how Oregon can defend it.
They're wide receiver U now in college football.
Without a doubt.
Those positions.
Them in Alabama.
Yeah, them in Alabama for sure. But if you look at it, it's like, I forgot what the list was, but it was Olave to Smith and Jigba to Harrison Jr. to Egbuka, Jeremiah Smith. Like, it just, it is like five, six consecutive years. Hey, coming in with a number one. Well, this year they're coming in with two number ones.
Yep.
For all the Ryan Williams hype in Bama, Jeremiah Smith has been that. He just hasn't had the Georgia moment against an opponent. I don't know if that'll be this weekend, but he's been all the rage in camp that they had about him. He is definitely living up to that.
Without a doubt. Let's continue in the college football world. Some interesting storylines this weekend, including two coaches who are facing a key situation. Money's coming in on two teams. What should it tell us? Does it concern us at all? And what do we do if this team wins? How do we handle it? I want to continue on in college football. That's next for... Looking for some hot stuff this weekend, and we should get it. It's going to be a great weekend of college football. This is the weekend we all had circled, and then last weekend was like, hey, don't forget about little old me.
So what you're saying is we come in Monday, and Texas bludgeons Oklahoma. Penn State wins comfortably against USC. Oregon or Ohio State wins by double digits, and we're like, what a meh weekend.
That was nothing. Nothing happened.
Except Oregon State's going to roll Nevada. That's going to be the big talking point on Monday's show.
I do want to get to that in a matter of seconds. By the way, just so you filed away for next week, I believe next week we get Georgia-Texas at Texas.
Yep.
Week from Saturday. And then there's one other, Alabama-Tennessee. I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure at some point they have, but I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. Speaking of your Oregon State Beavers, they're taking on Nevada this weekend.
We haven't quite dove into that game the way we have the other game. What's
no,
up with that?
I know. They're on equal footing. You know, a lot of excitement for both. I know. It's the same stakes and standards and all that.
I had a sales rep here, Tubbs Ludwig, yesterday. The big sales staff got to go on a big retreat to Hood River. And so I saw him in office, and I made an offhanded comment. Why aren't you on your vacation with everybody else? He goes, vacation? It's a retreat. We're working. And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Sure you are. At a brewery all day.
And I
sounds
said,
like a rough Tuesday.
He's a Duck fan. And so I said, yo, you're pretty excited, I imagine. He goes, yeah, I'm going down, doing a big sales thing, going down. I always love that it's a sales thing and not yes. I'm a Duck fan going to the game. And I said, that's pretty exciting. He goes, who do the Beavs have this week? And I go, oh, man, how are you not excited for that Nevada game? And he said, you guys got Nevada.
Nevada.
I said, yeah, that's unfortunately our lot in life right now is those games.
That's where you're at. There is money coming in, and the lines have moved against both you and Washington State this week.
What was the line?
I mean, it's moved about a point. I think it opened 4.5, 5, somewhere in that range. And
we're
now it's
sub a touchdown favorite.
You're sub a touchdown favorite. And Washington State opened somewhere in the 4 or 5 range, and that line is down to 3. Now, it should be noted, this also happened against Purdue, in which we all looked at it and laughed and said, what? They're going to kill Purdue.
And they did.
And they did kill Purdue. I also had the same feeling last week against Colorado State, but that just one of those things you file away early in the week. Washington State is on the road at Fresno State at 4 o'clock, and you guys play essentially at the same time at 4:30 on the CBS Sports Network, but money coming in on the old Wolfpack.
I can speak on the Fresno thing real quick for Coug fan. Fresno State's not very good this year.
Nope.
Don't overlook weird things happening in Fresno. Now, those teams that beat Oregon State in the past were much better than this one, but Fresno's a weird place to play. The other one, I don't really have much other than this. They better not lose that game, and you better blow them out. I've followed enough Nevada to tell you they're not very good.
Not very good. The numbers bear that out.
That's about all I have. Please do not fall into some weird Mountain West road trip trap.
Yeah.
Please win that game going away.
I'm with you. I think both of them should be. We'll get to the big PP picks tomorrow. I don't get either of those. I don't get either of those.
I don't gamble on games like that. So
Minnesota
I don't
housed them 27-0. Now, that was in Minneapolis.
Dude, Nevada's best moment this year was almost beating SMU.
Almost beating SMU.
Yes,
in
week zero.
Opener, and that was at home or a neutral site.
They're 2-4.
And they're a bottom half defense in the
Mountain
West. One
of their wins is against a big sky school, Eastern
Washington.
Their
coach's name is Choate. You don't lose to a Choate.
No, you don't.
I don't know everything about Nevada. I can't even tell you the starting quarter. You don't choke to a Choate.
It doesn't happen. Brendan Lewis, by the way, is their starting quarterback.
There you go.
So you don't lose to Vanderbilt.
You don't lose to a Choate.
Is that going
to
be you? Are we going to have legend on Monday if they lose this game?
If we lose to Nevada... yeah.
Can you imagine if Oregon legend. Gets blown out by Ohio State and you guys lose to Nevada, what the show is like on Monday?
Depressing. I mean, maybe God. The most depressing possible show.
That would absolutely...
That's the ugliest little sister on the block!
Then don't lose to a choat!
We'll send a U-Haul to your ass.
A choat?
It's going to be us for 3 hours on Monday if that ends up happening. Random question
what
for you this weekend.
What if all of the local schools lost? The Cougs lost to Fresno
yeah.
State.
Huskies could lose
rolled.
In Iowa.
You no. lose to the Buckeyes. No. We lose to a choat.
That would suck. That would be a really bad show.
Welcome
that would not
into
be fun.
Monday's program.
At least then, like,
NFL.
Nobody could really make fun of anybody, at least. So that would be the only silver lining of, like, you can't really trash talk after that. We all lost.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to ask a random one for this weekend, and maybe it's a very easy answer. For you, Pate actually brought this up on his show last night, and it did have me thinking. So, one of the storylines in Oregon, Ohio State is the pressure on the coaches, and Lanning needs a big win, and Ryan Day hasn't won one in a while, and he's lost to Michigan, yada yada yada. There's another one this weekend with very interesting storylines around their coaches. Lincoln Riley, we played his Mickey Mouse bit after their loss on the road to Minnesota this past weekend. USC fans are like legit calling for him to get fired. Like, this is unacceptable. He's the same record as Clay Helton. We're done with this cat.
I still think he's got one more. He'll get next year if he doesn't.
Oh,
leave.
He's not going to get fired.
But after next year?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's starting to turn up. And then you have on the other side James Franklin, who has like 25-0 against Big Ten teams, not name Ohio State and Michigan, but he gets bludgeoned every time he plays Ohio State and Michigan. If I ask you which coach has more pressure in that game, is it an easy answer for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, who is it?
Definitely a tie.
Well, I was just thinking about that. Like,
it's probably Lincoln because...
Probably, yeah.
You know, I believe Clay Helton beat Penn State
in
a Rose Bowl.
He did, yeah. With the Saquon Barkley team, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
The Clay Helton record thing's already been comped. He's a game behind Clay Helton.
Was that their big giant comeback?
Yes, that was the year they beat Washington, Darnold. They got all the way to the Rose Bowl. Remember, that was the playoff Washington team.
Yeah, they didn't win the conference, but they beat
Darnold?
Washington late in the year. It was Darnold.
It was Darnold, yeah. Darnold got to the Rose Bowl. I think it's Lincoln by an edge.
Okay.
But, my God, if Penn State can't beat USC this year...
Yeah.
They got Ohio State in 2 weeks.
I don't think they're beating Ohio
State. Well, Penn State can blame the runway at the State
too long
College
of a flight. We're going to drive an hour and a half.
I don't think that flies.
Lincoln Riley's doing this in front of the boosters and the hometown fans.
Well, that was my thought of, like, I feel like we've already kind of settled in on criticism of Lincoln Riley because he just lost. And so they're not actually going to fire him, but that's already a very toxic situation.
How many recruits?
Franklin's undefeated, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many recruits, though, does USC have coming in this weekend? Look,
probably
these
a
are
lot.
The big-time games we get to play now in Penn State and blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's an underrated.
And if they lay an egg.
Yeah, underrated part of that, too, Swag. Not only losing at home, but when you lose at home, you start to get you get the boo birds. You hear the noise. The boosters are in the suites talking. And guess who didn't hire Lincoln Riley? Their AD, Jen Cohn.
No, she did not.
And so, like, I don't think she's a vindictive person who's like, it needs to be about what I do. But eventually that noise gets so loud that the person who didn't hire you starts to go, well, like, you know, I hired Kalen DeBoer at Washington. Look how that worked out.
It worked out pretty good.
You start to believe your own hype, and you went to USC for a reason. I jokingly said this to Danny yesterday, and he responded with an Oregon State is poor joke, which was a nice comeback. But, like, the best thing at USC going is their women's basketball team.
It's not even close.
And, like, I don't mean that
Juju
disparaging.
Just got paid.
She got paid. Talia transferred there. They might win the Natty this year. The fact that it's not the football team is a massive problem for USC fan and boosters. So I could say I don't think he's getting fired because it would cost him a lot of money. But if you lose to Penn State.
Be 3-3.
You go from, like, oh, they might be in the Big Ten conversation for the title game to, are you going to win 7 games this year?
Yeah, are you going to get to a bowl game at that point? I mean, you got to win three more, so you still got a road trip to Washington later this year, which I don't
know. Who knows?
I mean, Washington's a much better team at home. Notre Dame at the end of the season. Nebraska's feisty defensively. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave
those
a game.
Those are two good defensive. Those are three, because Washington's defense is good. So that's three good defenses you still have to play.
UCLA's a layup, so that should be a win. And then you got Rutgers and Maryland after this. And so you should win those games, but you were also a 10-point favorite on the road at Minnesota. They go to Maryland next weekend.
Yeah.
They got to go from...
Boy, they got
Michigan,
by the Big Ten this year.
Home against Wisconsin, at Minnesota, home against Penn State, at Maryland. That is their stretch. And then they get a road trip to Washington and UCLA to wrap up their year.
You guys got such a layup with your schedule before
Rightfully
Ohio
so.
State.
Be relevant. You get a better schedule, bitch. I asked the poll question yesterday, which coaches under more pressure for a win this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't disagree that Riley probably deserves to win this, but I'm with you. Like, this is a 51-49 for me.
Yes.
It's 85% answering Lincoln Riley on the poll question.
Well, because the noise 85. Is... We already know the noise is loud on Lincoln, but Dirt, you
wait till James
home.
Franklin loses this week. Like, if he loses this game this weekend...
But it's their first loss.
It is their first loss. So,
if that happens.
Are we prepared? One last quick college football. No, we'll have a lot more on this in the next 2 days. How am I supposed to react this weekend if Colorado wins?
Well,
who do they have this weekend?
Kansas State at home.
At home. So the metrics for them say that Kansas State bet whatever it is the over rush prop is for Avery Johnson because he's going to hit it in the first half. Look, Colorado's had a good start. That was a good win. UCF's not good. They just lost to Florida. But give them credit. They were double-digit dogs, and everybody thought they were going to lose that game.
They're 4-1. They're coming off a bye.
This is going to come back to earth. I think Kansas State, and it could be Iowa State, but I think Kansas State's the best team in the Big 12. And I think all of the defensive metrics and the offensive line play for Colorado is where this is going to leave them. Now, can they be 6-6, 7-5? It's kind of where I think they'll end up. Come on, man. Do they think that team's going to win the Big 12?
I don't know who the best team in the Big 12 is. That's why I'm having a hard time.
Colorado's in your top three?
No, I probably not. But if they win this weekend, that's why I'm asking the question. Like, what's the response if they beat Kansas State at home and they move to 5-1, they have a head-to-head win over the team that I also think is the best in the conference? What am I supposed to do on Monday?
I want to so badly say, I'll put a burrito in my butt if they win. But I'm not going to do that because that's not proving successful for people having to say those things.
Big 12 is wide open. That's another one to watch. That's the late game on ESPN 7:15, Kansas State and Colorado. Let's send you on your way. We got four baseball games today. Do we get game fives? Do we get eliminations? How's it going to play out? We'll wrap it up next on The Fam. All right, little help from the listeners needed here. So we had Josh Pate on earlier today. Love having him on. He is very generous with his time. A lot of times when you get these weekly interviews, you have to fork over some, you know, like, hey, what's it going to take to get you on, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's usually the way a lot of those work.
Sure.
Pate is coming on free of charge, despite what some people think. We don't pay him a dime. We just said, hey, man, we'd love to have you on. He was like, okay, I'd love to. I think he's trying to grow his audience. He's really big in the Southeast.
He's a good friend of the program. We've had him on for a few years. I like to think we discovered...
We found him
before he blew up into who he is.
He had a clip on Mario years ago talking about his recruiting that went viral in our interweb pockets. And we were like, I've never heard of this guy. Let's get him on. And he was great. And we've had him on ever since then. This year's a little bit different. He's joining us every week. I'm going to see him Saturday. He's going to be at Autzen. So I'll be down there. And I want to go. We want to give him a little goodie bag, if you will. Now, two caveats here. One, he's got to travel. He lives in Nashville. He's got to fly. So there's got to be stuff you can fly with. He's not a drinker. So he said no booze.
No booze.
And he's not a huge sweets guy.
He's a workout bro.
He's in shape. He's a workout guy. He's not a huge sweets guy.
He's a put together dude.
Yes, he is. So if you have any ideas on what we should give him in his little, because we do want to give him a thank you for all of his time, and we don't get a chance to see him very often. So I want to take a little goodie bag down on Saturday. 503-864-6326. Northwest Treats. You know, like Tillamook stuff. Like, what do we got? Whatever you can come up with. Fire it away.
Yeah, my one idea, and I think I'm already canceling it, but I did have a fun idea. Not a suite, but going to Voodoo and just asking if we can get a box.
Can they break them down? Like, could you give them a flat box? Would that be easier?
Yeah, I think they give you a flat box that you could then form.
I think that'd be kind of fun.
But I also think, where would he put the box if you give it to him pregame while he's doing the game?
Does it become more of a hassle to travel with or have than, and you defeat the whole purpose?
Because it's, you know, the most Portland thing ever is seeing people at our airport with the Voodoo Donut box. Yeah. And so giving him his goodies in a Voodoo Donut box was originally a thought. I don't know if it would be executed well.
Yeah, so if you got any ideas, fire him away. We'll see what we can come up with, but do want to give him a thank you. And go check that interview. He talked a lot about the Oregon-Ohio State game and everything else going on this weekend in college football. The baseball playoffs continue today. Is this going to be Jason Swigard tomorrow?
The honeymoon's over.
Dave Robert.
Yes, they're done.
They're done.
They still haven't named a starter.
My God.
They're done. Oh. Stick a fork in them, buddy.
You are the worst.
Huh?
Can't take the heat? Get out of the kitchen. I love the kitchen. So let's get that right.
I love the kitchen.
I don't think you do.
If they lose, do they fire Dave Roberts?
It just got hot and you said it's over.
Yeah, it's true. You're running away from the burning stove.
I didn't like them going into this because they don't have a starting rotation.
Yeah. Is that Dave Roberts' fault?
No, it's not.
But will he be the scapegoat?
Might be.
He's the Doc Rivers of baseball, right?
Yeah.
He's good, but he's not
good
great.
Manager. Yeah, we all know he's a good manager.
One.
Yeah, he's got one. Kind of.
His reputation kind of precedes him as a coach.
I mean, the other thing, Rojas, they had to pull Rojas because his groin.
Daddy Rojas, Rojas.
Freddie Freeman's on 1 foot.
Jeez, I know he is, man. That hit he had.
So they're a mess.
Dylan Cease has a 13 ERA in the playoffs.
You're
That's
unbelievable.
The only thing. If they can get to him early.
Take the over tonight. I should have bet it last night. It hit in like the third inning.
$900 million in two Japanese players. Oh, it's over. We're not any good.
And an illegal contract,
too. Who's going to start the game and give them 5 or 6 innings and keep the Padres to a couple of runs?
What's your offense for? You got all these bats. What are
they for? Score 10.
I told you they're going to have to win games 10-8, and they won one of them in that fashion.
This is our hell. He gets all of the good stuff, and then he still gets to bitch and moan that it's not good enough.
Not enough. Give me your four quickly. Guardians and Tigers.
I like the Tigers.
Tigers, Phillies, Mets. Is it over?
Mets.
No, I think the Phillies figured something out.
Back in Kansas City, Yankees and Royals.
Royals.
Ooh. And then you know it's. You think
Padres.
It's over? You think it's over too?
Padres. Although yesterday I'm going to keep it up. I'm going to go for the Dodgers, knowing what's happening with the reverse.
I like it. Yeah. Keep it going, buddy. That will do it for us. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. We had Heather Dinich was on talking college football playoff and all that stuff, the big game this weekend. She was great. Josh Pate was awesome. We'll tweet him out as soon as we're done here at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Find him wherever you find your podcast. Thanks so much, everybody, for being a part of our Wednesday. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done yet on YouTube. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next for listening to 1080 The Fan.